Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast. Hope you enjoy it. It's brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for something unique, Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Check them out at Lakewood Chev. Any concern in St. Louis that they gave up too many opportunities? Is that what they're looking to shore up defensively?
Well, I think you want to reduce the shots against, for sure. I mean, when you're giving up 50-plus like they did in Game 1, even though that was an overtime situation, you know, 40-plus in Game 3, close to 40 in Game 5, you know, you'd like to reduce those shots against. But this is kind of a product of the system the Blues are playing right now. And even though they're giving up a lot of shots, Jason, a lot of those shots are coming from the outside. And, you know, they're not the grade-A scoring chances that the Blues were maybe giving up, you know, prior to the coaching change or earlier this season. I mean, it's, the scoring chances, while there may be a different quality of scoring chances versus what we saw, you know, earlier in the year. So, you know, you want to reduce the scoring chances. If you look at the way they play defensively under Mike Yeo, you know, they really pack the interior of the defensive zone, the house, whatever you want to call it, from the goal line to the top, to the high slot. And they expose the perimeter of the defensive end, which leads to a lot of shots or open opportunities to shoot the puck from the outside, specifically from the point. So they're not necessarily high-danger shots, even though there's a high volume of.
So looking at the Predators, and they really controlled the Chicago Blackhawks, and a lot of people, Annie, you've seen them more in that division, felt like the Predators were a team that never really got on track until the final few months of the season, and now they started rolling. And the Blues, of course, will have a home ice advantage in this series. They started on the road, and it didn't seem to bother them or the Predators in the first round. But look at specific matchups. Is Petrangelo, are we talking 29, 30 minutes, and you know, he's going to be up against the Forsberg trio the entire time?
I mean, he's going to see a lot of them, there's no question. I mean, he's been around 30 minutes, you know, pretty much most of the games thus far here in the playoffs anyway. But, you know, even with that being said, you know, the Blues have other defensemen that are playing at a high level right now that can take some of that pressure off of him. Specifically, when you look at Joel Edmondson and Colton Parayko, what they've done in the second pair has really been probably a little more under the radar than it should be right now, Jason. I mean, Jay Bouwmeester's playing some good hockey, some of his best hockey of his career, to be honest with you, at least in the first three or four games of the series. But you look at Parayko and Edmondson, these guys have been phenomenal. They had three goals scored between the two of them, not to mention they were plus seven combined in the clinching game in Game 5. But, you know, Petrangelo is playing at a real high level. This is what this guy does every single year when the temperature is turned up. You guys have seen it in the Olympics, representing Canada up there. Against the top competition, this guy is as good of a defender now as you're going to find in the NHL. And he can handle himself in the offensive end, too. I mean, the opportunity has come to showcase some more offensive skill ever since Kevin Shattenkirk got traded. So, you know, from a defense standpoint, I know, you know, Nashville, you look at their group from top to bottom, Jason, they've got a pretty good group of defensemen as well. They probably produce more offensively as a group than St. Louis does, but I'm not so sure they can defend, you know, they're good, don't get me wrong, but I'm not so sure top to bottom they're as good as St. Louis in terms of playing inside your own end. The one thing you have to do, and they really frustrated Chicago, you can't skate the puck into the zone. There's no room in the neutral zone, and you got to be willing to give it up to get it back. You're going to have to forecheck. That's one thing Chicago wasn't willing to do against Nashville, and that's what cost them the series. I mean, guys like Panarin and Kane, they don't want to play that way. They want to skate it in. They want to try to skate through people in the neutral zone. Nashville doesn't allow you to do that. They give you absolutely no space and no room. So St. Louis plays almost a similar style, not quite as congested in the neutral zone. But that's why we may see a lot more overtime games, and we're going to certainly see some close, low-scoring games in this series coming up.
Now, Paul Stastny comes in the final game of the series, scores a goal right away. That's a huge boost, and it's not like they let him just ease his way back in. He played 22 minutes and 42 seconds his first game back. That's a huge addition for the Blues, Andy, now that he's had a few extra days of practice. Just how much does that change the Blues when they have Stastny?
Well, it changes a lot because it just makes you automatically look deeper. Now you have the option, you know, that you have with a guy like Alexander Steen to move him to the wing where he's a much more dangerous offensive player. You know, this guy can play center at a high level. You look at his ability to play against other teams' best players, his ability to handle himself down low in the defensive zone. He can do all of that. But now you put him on the wing, and now you have an offensive threat on the wing, and we saw that, you know, on the second goal of the game scored in Game 5, a beautiful feed from Colton Parayko. And, you know, Alexander Steen knows what to do with the puck. So now all of a sudden you look deeper. You know, they bring Jory Lehterä back in the lineup. You know, Ivan Barbashev has been a pretty big story down the stretch in the regular season.
Where's that coming from?
Playoffs, but he's young. He's 20 years of age. You know, he and Lehterä could be interchangeable in the lineup as you move forward throughout this series. But, you know, Stastny just does little things that maybe are a little bit underappreciated. You know, his ability to make little plays, carry the puck into the zone. The entries were much, much better in Game 5 than they really had been earlier in the series. You know, they're winning faceoffs at a much higher rate with him in the lineup than they were prior to him, being a part of the series. You know, I mean, he won 5 of 9 faceoffs in the offensive zone against Mikko Koivu, who pretty much owned the Blues in the first 4 games. Blues couldn't win a faceoff. So now you're starting, you're having the puck more. You've got more possession time, you know, in the offensive zone as a result of Stastny in the lineup. But, you know, I talked to him today. He thought he only played about 16, 17 minutes. He was surprised when he looked at the score sheet and saw that he was actually out there for 22 minutes, like you said. But this guy is such a pro. He brings experience. He brings poise, and that's what you saw from him. His ability to play under control. He's so smart. He has those Stastny smarts. That's what they call them. The entire family is always showcased that in the National Hockey League, and we saw that from Paul, obviously, in Game 5.
Now, look at Nashville's defense right now with a healthy P.K. Subban. You throw in Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis. Very good defense, maybe a little bit underrated as a group overall. What matchup do you see, Andy, that's the biggest challenge? Like, is it Tarasenko who's going to see their top pair? Who do you think it's going to be?
Well, I think it has to be. And right now you're playing Stastny between Tarasenko and Schwartz. I mean, so that's your biggest line. And, you know, Tarasenko only scored 1 goal, Jason, in that first round. You know, who would have thought that Joel Edmondson would have more goals than Tarasenko, right? And the Blues would win in 5. Not just win the series, but win in 5 games. It's pretty unbelievable.
That's in my headphones.
So there's no question Tarasenko, they're going to want him to score more. But let me just say this. It may sound crazy, but, you know, Tarasenko is valuing the defensive side of the rink, I don't want to say equally as he does offensively, but as close to a to the offensive side of the ice than any other time we've seen throughout the course of his career. He's blocking shots, he's back-checking, he's finishing checks, he's getting in passing lanes and shooting lanes, taking pride in getting it done in the defensive zone. And it's so tough to score. You guys saw that in the first round with Connor McDavid. He had 1 goal. I know he had the empty netter, but essentially he had 1 goal in the series, and that was off the rush. It's tough for star players to score. Patrick Patrietti in Montreal, right? They want to kill the guy right now because he didn't score. It's hard. You know, I mean, you see during the course of a game, you know, the puck goes one way, Tarasenko goes the other, and everybody follows Tarasenko, and they don't worry about the puck. You know, so that's why you need secondary scores, and typically you see secondary players really come through, you know, like the Fasanis and those guys who obviously led Edmonton to the Stanley Cup Finals back in 2006. It wasn't necessarily the top players who were getting it done game in and game out. You need depth players, and the Blues are no different from that standpoint.
Yeah, the Oilers had that with Cassian and Desharnais and Slepyshev scoring game winners in the 4 games to the Oilers. Yeah. Quickly, give me your thoughts on the Oilers-Ducks.
Well, I love it. You know, I actually had a long conversation today with Neil Yakupov about that, actually, in terms of what it's going to look like. You know, I mean, obviously you talk about, you know, everyone talks about the size of Edmonton going up against the size of Anaheim. I mean, I just like speed and the skill. I just think Anaheim has, or Edmonton, I should say, has something special that's going right now just in terms of the confidence that they're playing with. And they show they don't need just Connor McDavid to be the guy offensively to carry the load. They've got other players, you know. They can play several different ways, and you have to be able to do that in the Stanley Cup playoffs if you want to have success. You've got to be able to play that 1-0 grinded out game. And if it turns into a shootout, you got to be able to have the weapons who can put the puck in the net. So you have that, you know. Anaheim, if you're able to shut down the Corey Perrys and the Getzlaffs and the Raquels I'm not so sure they have enough firepower underneath those guys to get it done. You know, I like Edmonton. I really do. I'm hoping for an Edmonton-St. Louis Western Conference final. I think it'd be great to have Pat Maroon come back to St. Louis and play in the playoffs. And it wouldn't shock me at all if we see it.
Andy, as always, man, we appreciate catching up with you. We'll talk to you throughout the playoffs.
Hey, Jason, monitor the situation in Chicago. This could get very, very interesting. There's been tension in the past between Joel Quenneville and management. You know, they put Barry Smith on the ice, if you remember, a few years back. Now they fire his best friend in Mike Kitchen after having a 109-point season, even though they got swept in the first round. That was not Joel Quenneville firing Mike Kitchen. He would never, ever do that. I can't imagine he's very happy right now. Could we have dysfunction now with the three-time Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks? This could be an interesting offseason for them.
Well, man, if they let go of Joel Quenneville, he'll be unemployed for, like, not even a day.
I don't think they'll do that. He's got too much money coming his way. But you fire his head. I don't want to compare him to Bill Belichick because I know it's different in football because Bill Belichick picks the players, too.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't see a general manager, though, of a football team or any other. You look at Joel Quenneville, second winningest coach in the history of the National Hockey League. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. And management has the power to fire his, I don't want to say his top assistant, but one of his best friends and certainly an important member of the coaching staff. And you just strip that away from your head coach who's brought 3 Stanley Cups. That is a ballsy move there by Stan Bowman, and it's not going to be received too kindly by Joel Quenneville. We know that.
Appreciate it, Andy.
Okay.
That's